much bad news. You ever have a day like that? So much bad news, and it was overwhelming. I came to church that night. I was overwhelmed by so many people that were in need, going through such difficult times. Went home from church, and it was about 10 o'clock that night that I got a message, an audio message, which I don't usually get those. Usually someone will just text. But Evelyn Ormsby, and I played it for you here in one of the services, but she sent me a message, and the message said something like this: Vernon, she said, we're going to be dancing on the head of the enemy before this is over with. It was about an 18-second message. And I'm telling you what, I was so lifted. I was so encouraged to know that God was moving in that situation and that He could move in so many other situations. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we're looking to the Lord today. We're so thankful for the presence of God, and we're praying for a special anointing of the Spirit of God to rest upon us. We talked a little bit about this by way of introduction on Wednesday night. But today we want to talk to you more about the anointing. The anointing that we need for today. The anointing that we need for this hour. And in the face of all the things that we are struggling with, we need a fresh, new anointing of the Spirit of God upon our lives. Who needs that anointing? Well, sure, preachers need to be anointed, but so do singers, and so do teachers, and so do mothers and fathers, and there's not one person in this building today, but what you do not need that special touch of the Holy Spirit upon your life. You need the anointing of the Spirit of God upon your life. We're going to read from the book of Exodus, chapter 30. Exodus, chapter 30. And this is the text where the Lord gives to Moses the recipe for the holy anointing oil. He gives them the exact recipe. And we're going to read about this here in Exodus 30 and verse 22. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassia, 500 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of olive oil, and hin, which is about 5 quarts. Thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be an holy anointing oil. Thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony, and the table of his vessels, and the candlestick and his vessels, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering, with all his vessels, and the laver in his foot. And thou shalt sanctify them, that they may be most holy. Whatsoever toucheth them shall be holy. Thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. Thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, this shall be an holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured, neither shall you make any other like it after the composition of it. It is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. And whosoever compoundeth any like it, or whosoever putteth any of it upon a stranger, shall even be cut off from his people. We'll stop reading there. Now, this was the recipe that was given to Moses for the anointing oil. It was used to anoint all the pieces of the furnishings of the tabernacle and the temple. It was the anointing oil that was used to anoint priests such as Aaron and his household, and kings were anointed. It was symbolic of the touch of the Spirit of God. The word just means something rubbed on. And it was symbolic of the touch of God's Holy Spirit. I think we all recognize today that we need something more than what we have. We need something more than our own natural ability. It's wonderful to be able to sing, but it's even more important to sing with the touch of God upon your life. It's an important thing in ministry, whatever it is that you're involved in whatever task that it is, that you experience God's touch upon your life. Notice that it says that it's not to be upon any flesh. It's not to be poured upon any flesh, but rather it is to be an anointing oil that does not honor the flesh, but instead transforms that person with the touch of the Holy Spirit upon them. Oh, how we need this. How I need it. How we all need it. As a church, there's just that something extra that we need from the Lord to be able to face the challenges of these days. 2021, a lot of challenges. We don't know what next month or the rest of this year or the coming months hold. We don't know, but God knows. And He can equip us and endue us with power and anoint us with the Spirit of God so that we will be able to face the challenges of these last days. Amen. And so I guess we could call it, we need a last day anointing. We need an anointing that's suitable for the circumstances of our day that we're in right now. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. John is describing the unction. It's the same word, really, that just means something rubbed on. You need something that extra from God, that touch of God placed upon you so that you will have an endowment of power to face the challenges of the day. You have an unction from the Holy One. The touch of God upon your life. You know, the anointing is something that's really kind of hard to describe or even define. But I've been around the Pentecost long enough to know, and I've sensed it. I've stood in the pulpit and tried to preach without it. And what a bumbling effort that is. But there have been many other times when I've stepped up here and I just felt the presence of God, the help of God, the touch of God, and I knew that God was visiting us with the divine anointing of the Holy Spirit. I need that. You need that. In whatever capacity, whatever responsibilities you have, whatever burdens that you're carrying, you need the touch of the Spirit of God to rest upon your life. So I want to just take notice of these items that are mentioned here and see the lesson that we can learn from these spices. Notice that he says principal spices. Principal spices. It just means that they are valuable, that they're rare, that they're costly. The anointing of the Spirit of God is something that is costly. It is something that you have to pay a price for it. You have to spend time with the Lord. You have to spend time in the presence of God. And the Lord can work through your life and even through adverse circumstances, which I know that a lot of us are going through, trying in difficult times. But all of these items that are listed here, these were crushed. They were crushed, and then the aroma came after the crushing. And many of us have faced that, and many of you are facing crushing, difficult times such as sickness and loss of loved ones. And as a church, we've experienced a crushing. Coming out of that could be the anointing. Coming out of that could be the principal spices that we need, the ingredients that we need to experience the touch of God in a new way, in a fresh way today. So first of all, he gives to Moses the myrrh. He says myrrh. Myrrh was a sweet perfume that came from a tree called the cannabiphora tree. It was found in Arabia. The way that they processed it, they would take the roots of the tree, they would steam the roots of the tree, and from that they were able to extract an oil from that, and that would be myrrh. It was myrrh. It was symbolic of submission, symbolic of meekness, a willingness to stoop low and to take the roots and to somehow extract from that this special oil or ointment that came. It was symbolic of meekness and submission. We all know that meekness is not weakness. Meekness is really restrained strength. It is power that is restrained. It is power that is under control, just like the horse that is wild, that is brought in restraint, and the horse is broken, and then the bits are placed in its mouth, and it's brought under the control of its master, then it can work. Then it can accomplish much. So is it true of those who have the anointing of the Spirit of God. God wants us to submit our lives to Him, to yield our lives to Him, and to commit our futures, our everything, to the Lord. The Bible says that Moses was the meekest man that ever lived. It says in Numbers 12 and 3. Now, the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. That was Moses. But how did he get to that process? Remember, he was in the palace. Remember, he was raised in privilege. He was educated and trained in the palace in Egypt. But then he was stirred concerning his own people. And you know the story. He winds up on the backside of the desert. And for 40 years of his life, one third of his life is lived in submission to his father-in-law. For one third of his life, he spends that time completely in submission and completely willing to humble himself and to do the menial task of taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. And all the while that he was willing to do that, God was working in him. God was putting something in him. God was training him in the ways of the wilderness. God was training him in the ways of leadership. God was doing something in him. But he had to submit. He had to be this meek man that submitted. And as he submitted to the Lord and submitted to that circumstance, for one third of his life, he was preparing to be and to do what the Lord asked him to do later on. So myrrh is a symbol of submission and a willingness to be meek and humble before the call of God. And when you're willing to do that lowly, menial task, then God can use that to prepare you and to anoint you for a greater task that He has for you if you're willing to allow Him to do that. Amen. Praise God. The next item in the recipe for the holy anointing oil was cinnamon. Cinnamon was grown from a tree that grew 30 to 40 feet tall, and it grew straight up. Most of those trees had no bends or no curves. They were just straight up. They would extract the leaves and the fruit of that tree, and from that, they were able to squeeze out this wonderful fragrance of this cinnamon. And it was used to make candles for kings. It was used as an additive to this holy anointing oil. Now this tree that grew up 30 or 40 feet straight in the air, it symbolizes uprightness. It symbolizes obedience and truth and doing the thing that is right. Standing on the word of God. We're living in a time right now when it may, you may have to pay a price for standing upright, but God is calling us to uprightness, to living a life that is pleasing to the Lord, a life that is in obedience to the Lord. I mentioned this a few services back, that someone came to Martin Luther and said, "Do you know that all the world is against you, Martin Luther?" And he said, "Well, good. I'm against the world too." Amen. Amen. The truth is that we must stand on the Word of God. And it is contrary to the thinking and the philosophy of this world. So this tall tree from which this cinnamon was extracted symbolizes the kind of life that we are to live. Upright, holy, pure in the sight of the Lord, living in such a way to do that which is right according to the ways of the Lord. The word upright, you'll find it dozens of times in the scripture, many times in the Old Testament. It's found 5 times in the book of Job, and even the Lord himself spoke of Job and said to Satan, "Have you not considered my servant Job?" And he gives all the qualities of Job and says, "He is upright. He is upright. He is a man that is perfect and upright, one that fears God and eschews evil." That just means he was straight, that he had integrity. Oh, how important in a world today when you don't know what to believe or who to believe, how important it is that you be a person of integrity and honesty, that you are above reproach. And the anointing is drawn to the upright. It's drawn to that person that is living a life that is pleasing to the Lord, that is upright in all of their ways. Amen. The third thing that's listed here in this recipe is calamus. Calamus was extracted from a reed that grew in swampy areas. And the head of that reed is where they would squeeze the head of that reed, and then they were able to extract the oil from calamus. They knew when it was ripe, when that head got so heavy that it would begin to droop, and it would droop down low, and it was ready to be harvested, and then you could take the head of that grain and pull it off, squeeze it, and extract the oil from it. Amen. It's a symbol of humility and the importance of humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God, that you are willing to humble yourself. You see, the reason that we can expect the touch of God, we need to remember that Jesus himself gave us the example. He humbled himself to the death of the cross. He humbled himself and even washed the feet of the fishermen. He humbled himself. He didn't exalt himself, but he humbled himself. 1 Peter chapter 5, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, and all ye be subject to one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and gives grace to the humble." The person that comes and humbles himself under the mighty hand of God, then God comes to you. God comes by his Spirit to you. The anointing of the Lord comes and is drawn to that person that humbles himself, that is weak and needy and recognizes their need of help from the Lord. 1 Peter 5 and 6, "Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Amen. Just be willing to humble yourself under the mighty hand of the Lord, and the Lord will put his hand upon you, and you can expect the anointing of the Spirit of God. James 4 and 6, "But he gives more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but gives grace unto the humble." Praise God. And so it's the humble, those who humble themselves before the Lord, that put themselves in a well-positioned place to receive the anointing of the Spirit of God. Amen. There's a lot more I could say about that. I could talk about David and his anointing and how he was a humble servant taking care of his father's sheep. But you all know that story, and I won't go there. Amen. The fourth item in the recipe, cassia. And cassia was used really for an inner cleansing. And now, not so much today, except it's kind of a trendy thing for people to go on what they call a cleanse in their physical body. It's kind of trending now. When I was a kid, it wasn't a trend, but it was real. It was a real thing, and I'll be careful how I talk about this. But there was a different attitude about this when I was a kid. Even when my mother was a kid, her mother would give her what's called Sina tea. Anybody ever heard of Sina tea? Well, this was for all practical purposes a laxative, and the Sina was given. It's leaves that are made into a tea, and to this day, my mother makes wonderful iced tea, but she will not touch it to this day because her mother, on a regular basis, made those kids drink that Sina tea, and kind of an awful experience. It's kind of like castor oil. It was a laxative. It was a cleansing, and that's what Casia was. It was a cleansing. It was a cleansing before it was trending and something cool to do. It was a cleansing, and it was used for that very purpose, for an inner cleansing. And so the lesson here is for this Casia to be added to this olive, to this anointing oil, was that it was a cleansing. It was to be to symbolize a sanctifying process. Oh, and how much we need that. We need that. We live in a world, and the world, if you spend any time out there in the world, I know if you're on the job, you're going to hear all kinds of language and filth, and you'll hear a lot of things that you don't want to hear, and you rub shoulders with people that don't know the Lord, and you just come home feeling pretty dirty and filthy from all that that you've heard and that you've been around, and you get to feeling like, I just need to be sanctified and cleansed. And there's so many things in our world today around us it's an onslaught of wickedness and evil against us, and we need a sanctifying work of the Spirit of God in our life. Amen. We need a cleansing. David recognized that after he had sinned against God and sinned against his people, sinned with Bathsheba. The Bible says in Psalm 51 that he said, "Wash me thoroughly for mine iniquity and cleanse my sin, for I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. But I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part, that thou make to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." Oh, we need a cleansing, sanctifying, an inner cleansing, an outer cleansing. We need a transforming, sanctifying work of the Spirit of God in our lives. And that's what Casia symbolized. And then the fifth item was just pure, fresh olive oil. Pure, fresh olive oil. In the Eastern culture, olive oil was used for everything. It was used for anointing after you have bathed. It was used in your food. It was used for healing of wounds. It was used for many, many things. The one thing that was obvious about this oil, and that is it had to be something that was fresh. It had to be fresh olive oil, because if you stored it very long, it would become rancid, stinking, and of no value at all. It had to be something fresh. And so in order to make this anointing oil, he said, 5 quarts fresh olive oil, and then mix all of these principal spices, costly and valuable. Some of them you'd have to travel for miles to be able to find them. Mix them all together, and then you will have God's prescribed anointing oil. Amen. And oh, how we need it. How we desperately need it. Amen. We can't live on the anointing of yesterday. Thank God for the anointing of yesterday and for what God has done in the past. But it gets old. It gets rancid. It's of no good. Ecclesiastes 10:1. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. It can't be old, so you can't depend upon an experience in the spirit from the past. You need something new. That's why that the psalmist said, anoint me with fresh oil. I want fresh oil. The anointing of the fresh oil. Psalm 92:10. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Something that is fresh for this present day circumstance that we are in right now. Amen. God knows what you and I need. He knows what the church needs for this present day, 2021. And it is only Him that can give to us what's prescribed, what we need. An anointing that's suitable for right now. The anointing that we need for this particular challenging time that we're in right now. I need it. You need it. We all need this wonderful touch of the Spirit of God upon our lives. Praise God. Thank God for it. Let's pray. Father, I ask you, Lord, to stir up among your people, Lord, a desire for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for what you've done in the past. I thank you, Lord, that I was baptized in the Holy Ghost just as a young person. And I thank you, Lord, for what you've done down through the years and for your mighty help, your touch upon my life. But Lord, today, I admit I need something that's for now. I need something that's for today. We need something, Lord, so we can face the struggles and the challenges and the attack of the enemy against us in this present day. And Lord, I just ask, Lord, that you would anoint us with fresh oil. Anoint us with something fresh and new, Lord. Help us to follow, Lord, the prescribed anointing oil in our lives. Lord, that we would be upright, that we would be meek, that we would be humble, that we would be fresh, Lord, in our experience with you, Lord Jesus. Oh God, do a work. Do a work, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Praise God. Would you stand with me, everybody? You know, I remember in Bible school, when I first went to Bible school, that Brother Branham brought a preacher in. I didn't know that he was a well-known preacher. His name was A.N. Trotter. I didn't know anything about him. He was just an old man to me. But when he got up there to preach, there was just something about his words. There was just something about the anointing that was upon him. I didn't know about his life. I didn't know he spent 25 years in the jungles of Africa. I didn't know he went through a plane crash and nearly died in Africa. I didn't know that he had lost family members, including his wife. I didn't know about all that crushing. But it was all that he went through, all that crushing in his life, that when he stood up and he admitted that at that time he thought his ministry was over, but Brother Branham had said, no, Brother Trotter, please come, please come. It was not long after his wife had died. Another crushing. But through all of that crushing, there was this sweet fragrance that poured out of his life. He traveled with us on the bus that year with all those young people traveling that spring tour, and he preached in those services wherever we went. And we fought over who got to sit by Brother Trotter on the bus. Because everywhere we went, we'd travel through the Carolinas or travel through Tennessee, wherever, and he would tell about, oh, I preached a meeting in this place, and in this place back in, and he'd go back in years and tell us all those amazing stories about how God had used him. And everywhere he went, even though he was old, even though he was physically limited, he would step to the pulpit with great power. Praise God. We went to Hamilton Christian Center where Pearl Robinson, that was when Pearl was still alive. We went there and Pearl didn't know who he was. He just saw this old man and he said, well, Let the choir sing their songs, and then you just take like 10 minutes and make an altar call. Brother Trotter hadn't been preaching for 5 minutes until Pearl Robertson stepped up beside him and said, take all the time you want. Something about the anointing. Something about the anointing. But oh, there was a price for that anointing. There was years and years of commitment to God. Years and years of struggle. There was a crushing, crushing, crushing. And from that crushing, flowed out. Flowed out. It's wonderful. Ministry. Amen. I've listened to most of, I listen all the time and have for years, listened to Elizabeth Elliot. Her messages on the internet. Her teachings. And out of her teachings flow this amazing, wonderful truth. It just flows out of her. We all know her story. We all know what happened to Jim Elliot, her husband. We all know that she went back to that same jungle and was a missionary for several years. Served the very same people that murdered her husband. All those years of ministry, her life and her struggles, the crushing, it brought out such a amazing touch of God upon her. And I know that sometimes we wonder, Lord, why are we going through this? Why are we going through these trials? Even why have we as a church gone through some of the things that we've gone through in recent weeks and months? Why, Lord? Could it be that this crushing is something that God can use to create something in us, a fresh, new anointing of the Spirit of God upon our lives? I want to ask you to pray with me today. If you would come around the altars, kneel at your seat, whichever you prefer. Let's take a few minutes. I want to ask you to pray. Lord, I know that I need your touch. I need your anointing in my life. Would you send that precious blessing upon my life? Could we pray together? Hallelujah.